Hello and welcome to the second ever edition of the Manx Footy Blog. They've amazingly asked us back. Coming on to today's issue is the one, the only St Mary's defender, Alex Harrison. Of course, housewife's favourite, Dave Norton, is with us.
Afternoon, everyone.
Plus, we've got a bit of extra audio this week. Dave spoke to Popeye from Douglas Athletics. That's coming on a bit later on. Right, Alex, welcome to the Manx Footy podcast. Thanks for popping in.
Thanks for having me.
We thought we'd better get you in because St Mary's a tremendous start to the season. Of course, yours as well, Player of the Month. Congratulations.
Thanks very much.
So what's been the secret? You boys are flying.
I don't know, really. A lot of changes. We've got Midi in now, which is obviously good. We brought in maybe like 12 players. So the first team and combi have both stepped up. So yeah, it's going great.
What's Kev like as a manager?
He's very very quiet. Yeah. Unusual in a way. You know, he's very quiet, but when he says something, everyone's dialed in and means business. But he's good. You know, he's in sessions and stuff. You know, he gets his point across. He's quite stern with us. You know, he makes us work quite hard and stuff. So yeah, he's really good.
Players respect him.
Yeah, the players definitely respect him. Yeah. We also have Seamus Sharkey, who's during team talks and stuff, he always steps up and his points are very valid, you know, everyone listens to him and stuff, so I mean, he's obviously a pro himself.
Yeah.
So it's good to have him around as well.
You say that you had 12 players move into the club.
I think 12, I just made a number of players, but I think we've had a lot more, to be honest.
You could be a sports pundit making numbers up like that, that's what we do all the time. Yeah, so 12, but that's quite a large influx of players. Is it being easy or is it hard? Or?
I think we're all still learning, you know, off of each other. You've got likes of Carl Clark, Harry Weatherall, obviously really you know, proven players. You've got You've got Matty Rennie, who's, in my opinion, has been our best player this season so far. I think he's brilliant. I think he should be involved in the Ireland squads and the Munich squads.
Got the winner against Bale, didn't he?
Yeah, he's got, as a player, he's got, you know, he's everything. You know, I know he's a great boxer as well, but he's got everything. I think he's brilliant. I think he's definitely one for the future. Who else have we brought in?
Hudgie,
obviously. Hudgie's, he's a proven player as well. And then we've got a bunch of lads that have been playing in the combi over the last few years, like Jamie Corran, Daniel Swan. So they've stepped up and done the business. Sammy Gellin, brilliant player, but we're going to miss him as he's at uni as, most of the year. And then Jamie Devine, who didn't play much last year, but he's come in, just works hard, exactly what we need. So, yeah, we've got some good players.
And you haven't had problems gelling? Or you know?
I think we struggled in... Every game's been difficult for us. So, against, we played Douglas Athletic, first game. Some of the lads, you know, hadn't even really trained once, come straight into the squad, started. I think we've struggled a little bit just to maybe understand what Kev's wanting from us. But, we've gelled okay. We're quite good defensively. You know, we all kind of know what we're doing. Offensively, you know, we scored the goals. You know, centre of midfield hasn't really clicked for us just yet, but... And we've got the players like Brian Crellin. You know, he's as good as there is over here. So
I must admit, he caught my eye when I watched you guys against Douglas. Like he just makes things happen, doesn't he?
Yeah, some of the stuff he does is world class, and I think it's that good. So
and it must be nice for like Sestito and that to have that service to him, because he can put a ball through the Ivan Needle.
Definitely,
really. Yeah. But I was going to ask you about, as you touched on your defence, I think you've only conceded two goals.
Two goals. That's just from front to back. You've got Hudgie and Steele up there working hard. We just seem to gel, at the back. We're doing all right. Dezo's been in goal.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Hasn't bought a form. He's been absolutely brilliant. At the start of the season, people are saying we're going to struggle with our goalkeeping, but he's been unbelievable. So he's put the doubt was wrong.
Dezo always sticks in my mind, because I remember watching him play for Paul Rose with a coat on in goal.
Right, he's that type of player. Fresh air. He tried to get the game called off against Lazio the other week. He said the pitch wasn't playable. We actually play on the ball. I'm not sure. He's a character.
Well, it's always good to have that sort of people around the dressing room. And back to Kevin, is he focused on defence? Has he got you playing in a certain way? Is there anything he's asked you to do different that you from previous?
I think we kind of just got on with it, really. He does touch on being really tight in the middle of midfield, a lot, and we've worked on that, and I think it's starting to happen. I think we, this week in training, we've been working on tracking. In the last game against Ramsey, we struggled tracking. We weren't tracking our runners, and we worked on that really hard session. So I think he is identifying the issues and trying to resolve them.
Going back to the other end of the pitch, you mentioned Hudgie, you've got Steedo.
Yeah.
You've also got Stephen Glover there. Yeah. How are the three of them linking up well?
It's been good. Hudgie's very, you can play anywhere, you play him on the left.
Yeah.
Steedo, you can drop him in, playing number 10. Glover played on Saturday and was brilliant.
Got two goals.
His work rate's tremendous. You know, it's exactly what. So he's had a good, you know, good start to the season. I mean, he had a few combi games, he scored a few goals, so I think he maybe needed that to get his confidence up.
Yeah.
So now he's come in and he scored two goals in his first game. So Middy's got a bit of a headache, but
it's a good headache.
You mentioned that though, that it sounds like you've got a strong squad.
Right.
And I think that's sometimes something that's maybe missed in Max football a little bit. You know, you may have a strong 11, but probably leaning towards the George's argument, but now you seem to be covered. I looked at your teams for the Ramsey game, and there was three or four different players to the team that played against Douglas Athletic. That must be good for keeping everyone on their toes and cover injuries and suspensions as well, so it works both ways.
Yeah, well, we had James Murphy come in on off the bench on Saturday and change the game. He was brilliant. We were winning 2-0, but they had chances. They were bombarding us and stuff, but he come on, changed the game, got the ball moving. He's quick, he's good defensively, so again, another headache for Middy.
Yeah,
I think he'd scored a hat-trick in the combi the previous week.
He scored a few.
No, that's great. As you say, a great problem to have. So what, I was going to ask you, because you told me before you only played four games last season, why did you want to go back to St Mary's? What was the draw?
Just nothing at Geordie. It was brilliant at Geordie, so the best trainers, such a good club, a lot of people involved, really good. I just think I lost motivation. I think sometimes you turn to a game and it's quite easy to without sounding disrespectful to the other teams. So you turn up to a game and it's hard to get motivated, and I just struggle getting motivated at the best of times.
Yeah.
Since I come back from America. But I just felt like I needed a change, somewhere where it was fresh, playing, because a lot of them are my mates down at St Mary's as well, my good mates. So playing with them, that was what kind of drew me back.
A good challenge after the season they had.
Like I said, every game's difficult. Yeah. We played Ramsey, it's difficult. You play Douglas Athletic, it's difficult. Peel, obviously difficult. That's exactly what you want. You want the competitiveness there. And I think Manx football's kind of lost that. And I definitely feel, playing at Geordies, I felt like it wasn't really competitive. Obviously Peel, only a few games a season, that's what you're getting motivated for.
So what's it been like going into the side as one of the senior players? Because I suppose you used to be one of the younger players, but now you're skipper, aren't you?
And
the lads like Matty and Jamie and Sam are probably looking for you for advice. How have you found that change in role?
I always talk to them, outside of training and stuff, message them, just ask them how they're getting on. I think sometimes on the pitch I'm not the best, got a bit of a temperament. Brad Crellin's always telling me about that. So there's players like Brad Crellin and Cedo, Glover, Hurty, especially. They're there as well. They're a lot more experienced than I am. So I can bounce off of them. So it's not just, it's kind of everyone. But I'm kind of learning myself. So I'm trying to just keep going as we're going.
And how far do you think this side can go?
I think we'll do well. I think our expectations at the start of the season, our long-term goals were to finish top four, Railway Cup, and maybe get to a final. Right now, maybe change a little bit. We're going to challenge Geordies, hopefully. We play them soon. They've got a few injuries, so hopefully we can maybe do the business. I think, realistically, top three finish. And again, maybe try and nick one of the trophies.
We saw just at midweek that St John's beat Rushen. Right. So again, any team can take points off anyone, really. So
I think Manx was like that, but that's why it's good this year. I think people are beating each other, taking points off each other, showing that competitiveness is there.
And you touched on before, you had a spell in America. Mm-hmm. You played in Ohio. What made you want to branch out in that direction?
When I was 16, I went to California with the schools, which is a great trip, best trip ever. So since I was there, I just fell in love with America, and then always try to figure out ways to get over there. And then I went through an agency, which is relatively common right now. You basically go for a trial, they say whether you're good enough, you have to pay a fee, and then they promote you to colleges in America. They build relations and stuff. So it's a really good thing. I think a lot of kids should do it. Probably the best one to go with is Soccer Smart, which is it's a coach I actually had my first year when I was out there, Summer League, semi-pro league, PDL it's called. His name's Chris Anderson, and that company sends people to Spain, a lot of like academies and semi-pro, to the UK. They have contacts in the UK, the USA obviously, Australia, New Zealand. I actually went with them to Australia. It didn't last very long. Wasn't the football, just it wasn't for me at the time. I think I rushed it a little bit. But they offer great services. So I think, you know, with any young lads, but I think you've got to be 100% committed. I think a lot of people have gone forward to do it and have backed out or, you know, had doubts. You know, you've got to be 100% and just go with it, and then, you know, you'll thrive.
So you're 26 now. Can we see you expect you're flying off, jetting out?
No, not any time soon, I don't think. I think I've got a nice job now and I'm quite settled. So I think I'm quite settled for a bit, yeah.
You mentioned about hopefully more people will go over to America. We've got you, we've got the likes of Liam Doyle doing well over there. I mean, what words of advice would you have for anyone?
I think it's just that I advise any kid on the Isle of Man who's interested in football to do it, because, you know, you get an education, which is a lot of lads, kids in the UK, they go to, they get a YTS at, say, you know, Man City.
Yeah.
It all fails, they've got nothing to fall back on. You can go, so you can go to America, you can get a degree. I mean, the degree I've got from Ohio State is worth $200,000. You know, it's that. You know, it's that good. So I just advise them to, if they're going to do it, just be 100% and get out there, and they'll thrive. Like I said, the players I've played against, you know, some of the players out there, and, you know, Yedlin plays for played at Spurs now at Newcastle, and I've played against him. Will Trapp plays for America. I've played against him. So there's numerous players playing the MLS every week. But you get to travel around the country, flying to different games, playing in front of 6,000-7,000 people. You know.
Yeah, what an experience.
Yeah, you go in the airport and you've got your Ohio State gear on, you know, and everyone's looking at you. You know, it's like being a pro.
Yeah. I mean, talking about broadening your footballing horizons, you've always been a vocal supporter of MIFA in the past. Of course, you played for Ellen Bannon. But what do you make of Jersey's bid to get into UEFA?
I think it's something that the Isle of Man has to do now. As a collective effort from, you know, MIFA, the Isle of Man FA and the Isle of Man government, you know, it brings a lot of advantages to Isle of Man. You know, you get recognition on a European scale. You know, there's a lot of people in probably Europe that have never heard the Isle of Man, put it on the map. It'll improve the standard of play for, you know, kids. You know, they'll have something to strive towards. Right now, I think a lot of them lose interest. The competitiveness isn't there. But if they have something that they can, you know, strive towards, maybe playing for the Isle of Man in, you know, UEFA against, you know, national teams, then that'll, you know, spark it back into life. So I think it's definitely something that they should look to do.
Well, enough of the serious stuff, as it were. We've been bombarded with Twitter questions when I put the hashtag Ask Al into action yesterday. We've picked out a few of the best, haven't we, Dave?
Certainly have.
We had to sieve them because there were some that were laced with double entendres. So the first one is from the man, the myth, the legend that is Johnny Myers. He asks quite a sensible one, really. Strongest and weakest part of your game?
Strongest part of my game is communication, organising. That was probably my strongest part of the game, I'd say.
What about your weakest part?
I can't kick the ball very far. I can't kick it properly.
You won't be helping.
I've been trying for years. I mean, Jack McVay's been trying to get me to kick it properly for years, and I mean, 26 now, I don't think it's going to happen. So I'll just try and pass it to the person next to me. Hopefully they can do it.
You won't be helping out with goal kicks anyway.
No. I tried that in the friendly against Russian and shanked one, so that's that.
Got an assist for Russian, did you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Will Miller, Uni Mills, fullback, he obviously knows you're a big Arsenal fan. Thierry Henry or Ian Wright?
Me and Wright are actually mates. So he follows me on Twitter and stuff. So
wow.
I met him in Florida when I was playing in one of the summer leagues. Ended up playing for the team that he owned the season after. I only met him once, but I've tweeted at him a few times and he's responded, but he follows me.
Oh, that's crazy.
Well, I'll have to go with Henry because he's best striker. <20 laughs>
He's also Belgium assistant manager now.
Yeah.
A bit of an odd move, but there you go.
Serious stuff now.
Yeah.
Adam Dooley tweets, sausage roll or pasty?
Definitely a sausage roll, man.
Ooh, Alex.
Controversial.
That's very controversial.
I used to have a sausage roll every day when I went to Balcombe.
And that's made you the man you are today.
Yeah.
Fair dues. And of course, we touched on him before, Liam Doyle of Yankee Doodle Dandy. I believe he got beaten 4-1 last night. Did you see that?
Yeah, the team they played won the league last night as well.
New York Red Bulls,
yeah,
second team, isn't it?
They've got players that are playing the Red Bull first team that they just dropped down.
Right, Phillips. Sure,
yeah.
Right, Phillips plays him, didn't he?
Liam played against him in their first game of the year.
I think he got a shirt, didn't he?
Yeah, he got a shirt and spoke to him at the end of the game and stuff.
Well, I think he's asked possibly one of the most controversial questions ever in sports journalism. Who's better looking, your Uncle Albert or Dicko?
To toss up that, isn't it? I actually got a message off Dicko yesterday saying, you better pick me. What? No, blood's thicker. Yeah. Albert's better looking than Dicko, I'd say.
All right, we'll leave that one there. Joe Andrews, Braddon striker and former St Mary's teammate, I believe. Would you rather be a shark with no fin or a bird with no wings?
Definitely a...
It's a hard one, that, isn't it?
Can sharks swim without fins?
I presume so. Well, no, I presume he's the one that comes out of water, you know, and strikes fear of God into everyone.
Well, you'd probably die. I don't know, you'd die quickly both, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd be dead slow.
He's thought about that one, hasn't
he? Yeah, that's a hard question. probably the bird.
You go with the bird.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, there's one from someone that you may know quite well. Frank Harrison writes, how much rent do you pay?
I was hoping this question wasn't going
to be. Oh, it had 21 likes on Twitter, which is, I think, the highest we've ever had for anything. So we had to put it in. You can answer it diplomatically. You can complain, no comment. That's often played by professional sportsmen. So.
Right, this is a message from my dad. I'll start paying rent when the dogs start paying rent, because they get hot pot for dinner sometimes and I get a sandwich. So once they start paying rent, I'll start paying rent.
Take note, Frank. Right, finally, I think this is my personal favourite. And some sort of trip advisor guy. Best Chinese, Williston or Paul Rose?
Can I do my top three?
Go on, yeah. This could be something we could do.
Because I'm very passionate about my Chinese.
I've seen that on Twitter. I'm looking forward to this. Go on.
Yeah, so the best Chinese on the Isle of Man is Paul Rose.
Right. Pass down?
Yeah.
Right.
Second is the hot wok next to Jack's.
Yeah.
And third is Williston.
Are you saying it's second hot wok because it's close to Jack's? Or
no, yeah, it's probably why I've had it so many times. No, just a recent thing.
Okay.
Since TT.
Well, you heard it here first, guys. That's the top three Chinese takeaways on the Isle of Man as picked by Alex Harrison. Right, we're going to go to Dave's interview with Popeye. How did that go, Dave?
It was good. Popeye was very happy with the 3 points last week. It was hard work. Could have gone either way against Colby, but they got that crucial first goal. And he's looking ahead to a really positive season.
Well, I'm looking forward to listening to this as much as everyone else, so we'll have that next.
Good 2-0 for a 2-0 win for Athletic today. Are you pleased with that result?
Very pleased. We're still building the squad. We are short of a couple of players. The boys work hard. We worked hard against Geordies midweek, and it's continued today. We had a bit of luck with a crossbar incident there.
Yeah.
So it counts when you get them on your side.
Well, these games against Colby, they always seem to be really tight, really close. And as you say, they hit the woodwork 30 seconds later, 1-0 to you.
Yeah.
That's what the fine margins are.
Well, it was exactly the same move. We both picked 1-2 down the line and a good ball across the box. We did exactly the same and I was winning in the back.
I mean, it was such a tight game up to that point, but you brought Ryan on and he seemed to make the difference as well. He's just got that little bit of extra quality, hasn't he?
Well, it was good touch and good ball in the box. That's what we needed.
Yeah.
We weren't getting enough of that. We were doing the effort and putting all the hard work in,
but
the delivery where we needed it and to hold the ball up, we weren't holding up enough.
Yeah.
I mean, the big 2 centre-halves for Colby played tremendous today. Warren got stuck in. And it was a bit of luck was going to change the game when we had it this time.
You did this time, yeah. I mean, was that 5 games into the season now and you're already on 7 points. It's looking very good for you guys to stay up already.
Well, I'm going for the River Cup. I don't know what
you're
thinking about.
There you go, good.
So I'm happy with the things that are going. I mean, the effort they're putting against St. George's, I mean, they found what the difference is.
Yeah.
The non-stop work, the non-stop running, the chalk, and you know, the commitment to the game, whereas our boys stand off. Even there at the end, the ball's bouncing and we're waiting to see what happened instead of making stuff happen, which is what we've got to do in games like this, because this is our big games, our six-pointers type things.
And what do you make of the season so far? I mean, you started off against St. Mary's, a bit unlucky to lose against them, but obviously St. Mary's are flying.
Well, they've gone unbeaten at the moment, so you can't really call it a bad loss, can you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Exactly, and then obviously you were unlucky against Union Mills too.
Yeah, and that bit of luck where we stood still,
we
all stood still, one person shouted and they headed it.
Yeah.
That was the only header of the one in the game from all the long throws they had.
And
up the back net, that's all they needed.
Yeah. You touched on the squad, you've had a few players missing and obviously Conor Dowell's gone off travelling now.
Yeah.
Still obviously Wolfie's gone.
Wolfie's gone, yeah.
So how do you assess the squad now? Are you happy with it?
Yeah, the effort's there. Like I said, these kids here are willing to do the effort, they're willing to put the hard work in, and it's going to take to the end of the season to even start getting half fit.
Alright, and lastly, who's your next match against?
I think it's Laxey, isn't it, then, Peel?
Well, they had a good win today, they stuffed Air 14-2, so Air are looking dead and buried already.
Yeah.
But are you looking forward to that Laxey game?
Yeah, we had a good pre-season friendly against them, it was quite easy. These boys know what to expect. I mean, that was the first game they played for somebody against from the First Division.
Yeah.
They were a bit caught on the flat back foot. But now they know what to expect, they know what effort it takes to win the game. So I think Laxey will be more watching us than we are watching Laxey. We know what they play like. So
good. That's fantastic. Well, good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much.
Right, Al, you played Douglas Athletic. Popeye's seeming fairly optimistic there. He's even joked about a top four tilt with Dave there. So how did you find them on the first day?
They were very good, I thought. We struggled second half. We scored the third goal on the break. No, I think they're good. I think they'll do all right. Not top four, though.
No, I do think he was joking. But yeah. He made a jibe about their fitness as well, but I don't know, I thought they were all right.
They were all right, yeah, plenty of running. They had to work really hard against Colby, and I think if they can take that attitude into every game, they'll be okay.
The only worry I have, they've lost a couple of goal scorers, haven't they? Wolfie's backs sort of seems to have finally given up the ghost, and Connor's now gone travelling.
Right.
So they might struggle, but you were impressed by
Ryan's
son, yeah?
Yeah, Ryan Gartland, I mean, he was actually late to last week's match. He was lucky to play because he was just off the boat.
Right.
So he was named on the bench and he came on as a sub after about an hour or 70 minutes, changed the game, set up the first goal, and he's an extra bit of quality you need up front.
Yeah.
Well, they've got a free week this week. While we've got Al in, we'll get him to look ahead to this week's games in the top two divisions. We'll start with you've got St John's, who got a bit of a result in midweek. They beat Rushing 4-2.
Yeah, they beat us in pre-season as well. They've got some really good players. I think Chaddy, when I watched him against Old Boys a week later, he was brilliant. He's got everything. He's fit. Looks like he's turned up a bit, and I think it's going to be a tough game.
I must admit, I watched them against Corinthians on Saturday, and they were woeful in the first half. They looked 30 minutes, they conceded four goals. Corinthians played well, to be fair, but that usual solidity that you have, they are hard to break down and work hard, as you just said, but that was lacking. They brought it back a bit in the second half, and obviously Robbie's given them a right rollicking, because they beat a Russian side who were unbeaten to that point. So it will be a tough game, but you boys, as you say, are on a roll. So
We just got to keep playing as we are, defending well, and we're always, with the strikers we've got, we're always going to score goals, I think. So a bit of a counter-attacking team, so hopefully we can do the business.
Now over to a new feature for the podcast, Dave. I'll put a drum roll in at this point, I think. Dave's stat of the week.
Well, it's a rock bottom at the moment. They've had an awful start to the season, and it's worth noting that they've actually conceded more goals already than the top six have combined.
That's 48?
Yeah, and they go up against Peel this week. Oof. So it could be another long afternoon.
If there was a Manx coupon, this would be a one, wouldn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, definitely.
Although where Peel will be playing is, because they've still got some problems with the...
Where are they going to play their games now?
We're not sure. This is, as you know as much as us, venue to be announced. So they've been trying to switch their games to the other team's venue, so maybe the game will be at air. Hopefully that'll clear up in the next few days. But as I say, the pitch is having some problems with the Douglas Road pitch. That might have added to their early season woes, as it were. But they should be air.
Yeah, they should. What do you think there?
Yeah, they should definitely be air.
There's a couple of other big games about. Laxey St George's, El Clasico, as Jim Travers once told me in the courthouse.
you can always find Jim in the courthouse.
It looks like that should be a good game. Laxey have started quite well this season. They're ironically, host of signings for Air bedding in well. Geordie's, though, you should still tip to win that one, would you say?
I think it'll be Geordie's toughest game this season, definitely. Yeah, Laxey were brilliant against us. They should have got a point out of the game at least.
Yeah.
Second half, they battered us. They've been working on stuff tactically, apparently, so they've got that long throw, which is always dangerous.
Big Sean's,
yeah.
He's capable of scoring a goal as well.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, Rushing will be looking to bounce back against Corinthians. That looks like it could be another decent game as well. Corinthians impressed me the way they passed it around last week, and Josh Ryden seems to be a man on form. I think he scored two and laid one on, or two assists and a goal last week, so he's certainly one to watch. The only thing is, I mentioned it to you on Monday, Dave, they look a bit... When they all push forward, the back four is exposed quite quickly.
Yeah, slightly exposed. I mean, they lost Ryan Burns for suspension after he got sent off against Peel, and he was doing that, that most of the hard work in the centre of midfield, cleaning up in front of the defence. In his absence, they do need someone else there as a holding midfielder. But if they can sort that out, there's no reason why they can't challenge for the Railway Cup and maybe even more.
Should be a cracker at the Croit. Up over the mountain, and we've got Ramsey Union Mills, which another early season six-pointer. Who do you fancy for that one, Al?
Played both of them this year, Ramsey and Union Mills. Union Mills got some really good young players.
As always.
Yeah, as always, yeah, yeah. I'd probably take Ramsey, to be honest. Ramsey were quite impressive on Saturday. They've got some good players, so I'd probably fancy Ramsey to just hit that.
Another young team as well, Ramsey.
Yeah, yeah. They had a few older players, but relatively young. Yeah. I'd say they tipped that game.
Completing the top flight card is Old Boys versus Colby. You saw Colby last week, Dave. Is it looking grim or?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. I think there's a lot of positivity there. They so easily could have won that game. They hit the post, and 30 seconds later, Athletic scored the first goal. It could have easily been them picking up 3 points. And if they can win games against the teams around them, they've got a chance of staying up.
And Old Boys, Al, you've given the reward of their transfer window. They're a bit light up there now.
Yeah, they've lost a couple of players. They've lost Carl. And who else have they lost?
Hudgie,
obviously, yeah. I keep forgetting Hudgie. Probably going
to. We won't let you forget that.
they took Carl off St Mary's initially, yeah. And I think there's a bit of aggro over that, but I don't see why. Yeah. But they still got quality players. You've got like Craig Murphy up front, who's very strong, hard to play against. They've got Josh, they've got Ian Ramsey, they've got the players there, they should do well now. I think Gary Quirk's back from injury as well, so
he's a big plus. Definitely. Right, in Division 2, I don't know how much you of the second tier you get to see, Al, obviously because you play most weeks, but game of the day, Dave, I can't remember what you put in your preview.
Glad you read it, mate. Douglas Royal v Pulley, I think, is probably going to be the closest game out of there.
That's where you're going with your buddies, isn't it?
That's it, we're half-time pasty. I said it last week.
That's cool, yeah.
Royal v Pulley, it should be quite fiercely contested. Which way do you see that one going?
Does Craig Dolman still play for Douglas?
He's probably suspended. I think he got sent off the other week.
Oh, he's always getting sent off, isn't he? I'll probably go with Pulley.
You go Pulley? Well, yeah, I suppose Pulley. Local lad and all that. And at home of the best Chinese takeaway.
Yeah, of course,
they've got to stay local, yeah.
But what were you saying, Dave? You was optimistic with Paul Rowe's chances as Elf?
Yeah, well, I think they've got a good chance. But I'm going to sit on the fence with this
again.
Again. But the other match to take note of is Moran Castletown. Now, Moran had bounced back from a slow start to the season. Castletown were flying, but got hammered 11-1 by Braddon last week.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock.
It was a sending off, wasn't there, in a goalkeeper
injury. Yeah, there was all sorts of shenanigans on the go there.
Yeah, they were 1-0 up by Nathan Cool, and then he got sent off for handling the ball on the line. And after that, they just imploded. So, yeah, can you see them bouncing back?
Yeah, they should. They've got like a Gell up front. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
They've got the players like Ash Sansbury and stuff. They should be able to.
I think we touched on it before with the Premier League. Division 2, certainly there's teams that are capable of taking points off each other. Last year, where Douglas Athletic pretty much had this title sewn up in October.
Right.
But this year, there seems to be a lot more vying for the top four.
You've got Foxdale as well, who turned us over in pre-season.
Yeah, they're the surprise package, aren't they? Yeah. They're away at Onken this week, and you'd favour them for another 3 points.
Yeah, they win that, they go top of the table. With Braddon not playing.
Right. Foxdale Freedom Fighters.
There you go. I remember being a child in Foxdale. Oh, I say a child. It must have been about 10. And they won the, I was going to say the Woods Cup, but obviously before my punditry days. And instead of an open top bus tour, they had an open top tipper tour. So on the back of a flatbed lorry up through the village. It was unbelievable. I remember it clear as a day. So we might have more tipper truck tours through the end of the village this season.
Line the streets.
We'll leave the roads open.
Get the bunting out.
Yeah, that's it. Where else we got Mike? Hatties off to Michael Governor's Athletic, which could be an absolute goal fest, couldn't it?
Well, you never know with those two teams. They both shipped. They've had so many heavy defeats recently that we just don't know.
It could be a confidence boost for one of them too. Anyway, the other game's on. Malou Jims. Now Jims have parted ways with their manager this week for personal reasons, we believe. So they're after a new manager to spearhead their promotion push. So if you're interested in the role, give them a shout. They should be favourites to beat Malou, but Malou at home, you never know, do you?
You never know. Jims have already, they had a couple of tricky results, but with the firepower they've got, they should see themselves through that one.
And then last, but in no means least, Dave Matheson's boys, Douglasson District versus Youthy. Youthy's game was pulled last week because of the pitch problems at Lazare Road.
Yeah.
So they'll be chomping up the bit, because I think the previous result to that was an 11-0 win against Michael. So
before that, D&D beat Foxdale. So
that could be a cracker itself. So if you're passing Nobles Park, give it a watch. Right. Now, so the important matters of the day. I'm sure Al will be keen to to find out. We had one of our very rare Twitter votes yesterday.
Should we let him do the honours?
I have given him the supplied him with the stats. It was World Beard Day on Saturday, so in the spirit of things, we tried to work out who has the best beard in Manx football. Unfortunately, Twitter only lets you have four options, so the Foxdale Freedom Fighters were quite angry that we didn't get Jay Gandy in. I'm worrying, letting you open the post in the next couple of days, Dave. But so we had our shortlist was Josh Kelly, Daryl Haslett, Sam Holliday, who's sporting it. Have you seen it? It's quite long this season. It seems. Yeah, I don't know. He obviously thinks it gives him some sort of extra protection and goal. And Nathan Kelly, who's my personal favourite at St John's, it's an absolute wizard's beard, that one. But we had 110 votes, which is quite shocking in itself. Who won now?
Daryl Haslett won, 45%.
45% of the vote.
That's actually voted for Josh.
Yeah, well, I think most people would have thought Josh would have taken that, because he has been a beard standard bearer for longer, as you'd say. But Dave, you've got a bit of insight into this, haven't you? Why did Haslett do so well?
Well, the vote was looking very even for a long time, and then Lexi's Facebook page got hijacked by Mike Murley, who gave it a big push with a few screenshots of the Twitter feed, and a big push, and everyone voted.
Suddenly, Daryl is the winner. Well, there's no prize for that, Daryl, other than the pride you can take in your man hair, and yes, well done on Mike for rigging the vote. Hopefully, you know, your influence doesn't extend to the Garth MHK's results. But yeah, so that brings a close to this week's roller coaster of emotion that's been the Manx Football Podcast. Al, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Disco, thanks for being you.
Oh, your pleasure.
And all being well, we'll have a third one next week. I'm running out of ideas though now. I don't know about you, Dave.
I'm at a loss. We'll have to. We're open to suggestions.
Yeah, we'll tune in. Do you tune? I keep asking you this.
You push a button on iTunes and it works. Or Audio Boom.
Oh, thanks for that. Right, so we do that next week, and hopefully be another one. All right, ta-ta for now.
Toodaloo.